Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Martin Scorsese has a new film coming later this year. It's called Killers of the Flower Moon. It's about the Osage people, who are Indigenous Americans, and the cruel campaign by white people to take away their newfound oil wealth. It stars Robert De Niro, Leonardo DiCaprio and Lily Gladstone. Now, it debuted at Cannes. The reviews are pretty good, but they all highlight one thing: the running time, because it's 3 hours and 26 minutes long. Now, would that make you want to go and see it, or would the very thought of 3.5 hours just put you off? 51551 for your messages. Gráinne Humphreys is the person you hear laughing in the background there, the director of the Dublin International Film Festival. Gráinne, you've had to sit through many a long film, I'm sure, but 3.5 hours, too much.
Well, I'm laughing because I actually didn't see it in Cannes. I actually saw two films while that was playing. And I think that's the thing. It was kind of a twofer. And I also knew it wasn't a priority because it'll be coming out before our festival next year. And I think that's part of it. I love watching long films. Actually, I remember Ryan was talking about Goodfellas, and I remember seeing it in the Adelphi, where, and that's 2.5 hours, and loving that, being inside that world, that gangster world, and loving it and really enjoying it. Actually, this is a very funny part where a guy in the film got so hungry watching them cook in the prison that he went out and grabbed a pizza and came back in to watch the end of the film. But I think that's the point about long films, is how do you sustain attention for that long without things like hunger, tiredness, or, you know, boredom, or the to-do list suddenly coming into your mind. And then I think the minute that happens, you're kind of gone as an audience. Mm.
If you're Scorsese, though, do you have to, or can you just say to yourself, you've got the luxury of saying to yourself, I don't really have to edit that bit out because I am Martin Scorsese and I can get
that's, it. You've put your finger on it. That's the problem. And I think we all would have said that about The Irishman, which is the last film. There is a thing, if you look back through history, that a lot of the longest films have been made by men. Nearly all of them have been made by men who have had Final Cut. So they can make it as long as they want. And it's all about prestige. I mean, I've seen people have conversations where they go, how long is your film? 150 minutes. How long is yours? 176. Do you know what I mean?
Badge of honour.
It's a badge of honour. It's a sign about how much influence and control you have. Are they thinking about the audience? Sitting there, coming in out of the rain, going, this looks fantastic. And then after 2 hours going, God, what'll I do for the rest of the evening? I've got things to do.
Yeah.
I've walked out of films and I know in the back of my head, I've gone, that's fantastic. I've now gained an hour and a half of my life back. You know, so I do think it is a control thing. And I do think it's not necessarily thinking about the audience. But I think the streamers has changed the game.
Why do you think that?
Because I think there's a couple of things. One is that the Scorsese film, you know, is funded by Apple. It is going to be seen in a cinema for many reasons, including Oscar campaigns. But ultimately, it will probably be seen on a small screen. And that is a place where, as we all know, we can stop them. Mm-hmm. We can stop them and we can make the tea. We can stop them and go out and do whatever we want to do and come back. And I think that's fundamentally changed the way in which we watch films, because we can control them. If you're in the cinema, usually, and in a lovely way, there's a projectionist who starts it and then it goes. And one of the things I always see in the film festival, which is really funny, is people going, geez, I can't leave. Do you know what I mean? I will miss something if I go to get popcorn or I go to get a coffee or something. The story will keep going. And when I come back, something might have happened. So I think that's part of it.
Where's the bar? Like last Saturday night, I was trying to find something to watch, and anything that was over 120 minutes, I don't care how good it was, I wasn't going to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's around 120. I think if you break the 2 hours, you're suddenly, and I know a lot of people seem to cheat. It's like 130 seems to be a lovely way of saying, I can just do it. I can tip the line. I think after about 2 hours, I stop. And if you think about it, that's kind of around two episodes. If you're watching something, if you're binge watching, it's about two episodes before you probably go, I could watch a third, but I probably need a small break. But honestly, in my head, I think it's got to do with the natural rhythm. We showed a film, Claire, it was 14 hours long. We put five breaks in. People went off and had dinner. They came back and it created a kind of community of people watching it. But on the other hand, you can watch, and we've all done it, we've watched films, we've even watched short films that have felt too long. So I think you can get to about 90 minutes and a lot of people would say, I'm kind of done. What's that extra 20 minutes doing there?
What was the 14-hour long film? What was that?
Oh, it was a fantastic documentary called Women Make Film that Mark Cousins made, which was about all the wonderful women filmmakers through history that have been basically locked out of the canon of male directors making those long ones. But it was great fun. We started at, I think, about 10 o'clock in the morning and everybody had their coffees. Mm-hmm. And then we had a small break for lunch. And then, as I said, break every 3 hours. And Mark actually came along. So it turned into a bit of a kind of special event.
Yeah.
And
it was more of a series.
It's more of a dynamic. But I think the minute you're over 2 hours, that's what happens.
Okay. Now, what happened when you went to see Alexander?
Oh, I love this story. So again, it's back in the old Adelphi, which is kind of like nostalgic. But I went to see it and there was a couple sitting in front of me, and we all did what we all do. You know, you sat there, you're ready, the credits go, the film starts. And then after about 40 minutes, the woman left. And I kind of went, well, you know, maybe she's got, you know, she's gone to get popcorn. Maybe she's decided that she needs, I don't know, sweets or something. She didn't come back. And then she came back about 20 minutes later. And maybe slightly longer, 30 minutes. She'd gone to Penny's. It was in Sydney. It was around the corner. So she basically went to Penny's, bought clothes.
Yeah.
And for the last half of the film, showed her partner what she bought in Penny's.
Love it.
To the amusement of everybody. It was like it was moving wallpaper at the end of a room, right? And I found myself completely distracted from poor Colin Farrell and everybody else going, do you know, that looks nice, actually. I'm thinking I might actually go down to Penny's afterwards. Will it still be open?
With that skirt, and you
that
could also,
would be great. Yeah. You know, it really felt like it was a communal thing. And I think at that stage, leave. Mm-hmm. You're not in the film watching position anymore. You know, now you are literally, as I said, it's moving wallpaper.
But she probably never was. It was probably he who wanted to see the film, but he had to agree to look at the film.
That's a different conversation than the films that we've watched because we have to. Yeah.
Going on there. We have a couple of clips. I want to play them now. So this first one is from Spartacus.
Slaves you were, and slaves you remain. But the terrible penalty of crucifixion has been set aside on the single condition that you identify the body or the living person of the slave called Spartacus.
I'm Spartacus!
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 We're all Spartacus! That's on your list of the good ones.
Well, I think, I mean, first of all, I do love this film. It is one that we see a lot. We see a lot of it on kind of bank holidays or at Christmas, which is when a lot of these films get trotted out. As we all know, Dr. Zhivago, Lawrence of Arabia, anyone. Yeah. But I think what's interesting is that this is a film that was made in a way, you know, it was a spectacle. It was a big story. That's a wonderful set piece. But it's also as a kind of response to how cinema was trying to compete with television. And it was all about bringing audiences in and saying, look at this. This is epic. You're not going to get that on your small little telly. And I kind of feel like we're probably in a phase like that now.
Yes.
Where people are saying, look, never mind the length. See what we're putting on the image. I mean, Avatar too, as I call it, was fairly close to that.
I kind of agree, though, that they are big screen movies.
They are big screen movies, but we don't see them that often there. I mean, we're lucky occasionally if Lighthouse or IFI or a couple of other places show them. But mostly, and there, again, they put the ad breaks in. There's natural ways of kind of like, you know, breaking up, if you like, the length of that. And I think it's reason why we sometimes forget how long some of those films are. You know, because we generally are watching them in a very relaxed place on our couch.
One of the movies where I absolutely forgot how long it was The Sound of Music. It came out at Christmas and I said to my children, who have no attention span whatsoever, come on, we'll sit down and watch this great movie that I enjoyed when I was a child.
Yeah.
Oh my. I mean, they
it
were
keeps
gone.
Going.
They were gone. We have a clip.
When anything bothers me and I'm feeling unhappy, I just try and think of nice things.
What kind of things?
Oh, well, let me see. Nice things. Daffodils, green meadows, skies full of stars, raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. cream-coloured ponies and crisp apple strudels, doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzel with noodles.
That's in everyone's head now for the rest of the day.
For the rest of the weekend, I hope. I hope that's what we've done there. It's 2 hours and 54 minutes.
It is.
And it's a public service warning.
It is. And the thing is, I think you find people editing it. I know lots of people who say, oh, well, I've watched it. We love it. We love all the songs. And then we stop and then we get to the Nazis. Do you know what I mean? So it's like the happy version of Sound of Music. You know,
but you can do that. You can be clever about these things. Because if you have, for example, like a big battle scene, well, you can miss part of that, can't you?
I think, I mean, well, that's the trouble. I mean, I walked out of Lord of the Rings, the last one, because it just was endless battles. And I think that's part of it. A lot of these long films do have set pieces that go on forever.
Yeah.
They're 12, 14, 15 minutes long. And it's like, someone's got to win, someone's got to lose. I don't need to be here. And I think that's part of it. And I have to say, a lot of these is around the special effects now, where you suddenly see the CGI and you just go, they're not even doing it anymore. I mean, God bless Tom Cruise. He is still doing it. It is the reason why those Mission Impossibles work. And he probably gets away with some of the length of those because you go, he's still doing it. I mean, I still think he is. Yeah. Don't ruin me. Don't ruin my Friday and tell me he's not.
I think he is. Well, that is what we're told.
But those action films have got longer. I mean, actually, the Indiana Jones that was in Cannes, allegedly the last one, is 40 minutes longer than Raiders.
What's going on here, though, I think. There is a bit of vanity, but also you have to justify the expense of these
you
movies.
You do. That's exactly.
You can imagine as a director and an editor sitting there, I can't take that bit out. That cost X millions of dollars.
Yeah, and I see your well-made point, and I raise you the fact that then you can only show it three times a day. So if you're going into a cinema, this is where the platform dynamic comes in. If you're going into a cinema, you want something that you can usually show four times a day. Five, if you're lucky, if you start early in the morning. That has to be around 2 hours, under 2 hours. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a huge fan and I think, go back and watch the films from the 1930s, the wonderful kind of like My Man Godfrey and the comedies. And what they did, they've just as much story and plot and dialogue. They just talk faster. And they get through it and you'll find yourself getting as much out of a film for half the length.
Which is why we all need subtitles all of the time. Or that
pretty
maybe
much.
Might just be in our house. Now, this listener says, your 3.5 hours is for wimps. I sat through the 4 hours and 11 minutes of Sergio Leone's Once Upon a Time in America when it came out in 1984. John tells us that Lawrence of Arabia was a monumental 3 hours and 22 minutes in 1962. He went to see it that very year, an interval of 10 minutes halfway through, but it was still an ordeal. I can definitely testify. Intervals, intermissions,
I like them. I have to say I do like them because I like the idea that you can then turn around to the person, that idea of community, and go, God, you know, how are you getting on? Are you enjoying it? Are you not liking it? And I kind of feel like there is something in that. But again, that's length. That's adding even more time to it. And also the concession side to it, you know, the fact that people then could go out, there is a break. I remember seeing, it was a Casino Royale, and everyone probably remembers the great card game in the middle of it. And then the guy says, okay, stop now, you know, we're going to take a break. And half the audience in the cinema that I was in left because they thought there was actually going to be a break in a James Bond film.
Yeah, and probably should have been.
There probably should have been. But do you know what I mean? I do think there is, you know, maybe that's part of it. There's a natural point where you do need to give the audience just time to literally drop out. Cassavetes, a great American director, was a mad smoker and he couldn't watch a film the whole way through because he needed a cigarette. So he said he built in cigarette breaks into his films where nothing happened for 5 minutes that you could just pop out.
He probably didn't tell anybody else where
they were. He didn't tell where they were. That's the trouble. So you had to pick your own cigarette break.
Listen, sometimes the duration is justified, and here's a clip from Schindler's List.
I could have got more.
Asuka, there are 1,100 people who are alive because of you. Look at them.
If I made more money, I threw away so much money. You have no idea. If I just...
There will be generations because of what you did.
I didn't do enough.
You did so much.
So that was 3 hours and 15 minutes, I think.
That was 3 hours and 15 minutes. I mean, I think in a way this is where, the final cut is the piece. This was Spielberg's big personal film and he was going to make it the way he wanted to make it. But it does raise that interesting piece about adaptations. Film adaptations of well-known books usually have to include everything, everybody's favourite pieces, favourite characters. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the great long films have multiple strands with multiple characters. And that's part of where the length comes from. It's not just battle scenes. It can equally be something like The Godfather with the multiple ways in which the family kind of spread out. And I kind of feel like that's, you know, one of the enjoyable sides to it. As I said, when you're sitting there and you're an hour in and you know there's another wonderful piece to come up, you know, or another part of a history to be outlined.
I think it's when you don't know that the wonderful bit is coming. That, and I was delighted to hear that you are prepared to stand up and walk
out. Oh, I'll walk out. Oh, God, no.
It's like having that rule about a book. You know, if you get to the 50th page and you still hate it, you just should stop.
There are others out there. You just have to use that time for good and not evil. Don't sit there, as I said, taking out your pennies, shopping and deciding, or doing as some people do in their phones, start texting people or deciding what you're going to do with the rest of your weekend.
No, I really like that pennies woman. I'm a big fan of hers. I'm delighted that she said, yes, I will go to the cinema with you, but you have to look at all of my clothes. No, I think it's a great idea. Gráinne, thank you so much. Gráinne Humphreys from the Dublin International Film Festival. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.